Spheres podcast. This is Sabrina Monarch, and this is a show about spiritual lifestyle and personal evolution. I'm an evolutionary astrologer, a clairvoyant, and a thought leader, and I started this podcast to have eclectic and impactful conversations about astrology as well as all things spiritual and personal development. Hey, this is Sabrina Monarch of Monarch Astrology and Magic of the Spheres podcast, and I'm going to be talking to you about the upcoming full moon eclipse in Libra. Let me share my screen so I can show you what I'm looking at. And I just want to point out some of the things that I'm really thinking about and tracking for this particular lunation. Ignore the house placements in the graph or the image that I'm showing you, the graph, the chart, because it's just the local chart for Portland. So we have a full moon in Libra. Full moons are peak moments, peak emotional illuminations and releases. And this is an eclipse, so it's working on the ongoing storyline that we're already in with South Node in Libra and North Node in Aries. So there's something with the North Node in Aries where there's an emergence of self-assertion and just emergence of maybe new parts of the self becoming empowered or willful and wanting to express themselves outwardly. And this is going to then rebalance the Libra side of things, where if we've been participating in our lives and in our relationships as a certain version of ourselves, when we bring more of ourselves to the table, some of our relationships may love that emergence and other relationships are like, hey, like you've changed, what's going on? And like there's a tension that happens, right? Especially if we've been in dynamics where there's any degree of codependency or really kind of fixed role playing inside of relationships. If one person starts to emerge and like bring a new part of themselves, it's gonna create some tension. And ideally, you know, within relating, we can be in this like deeper level of honesty about that and grow together, or be honest about when we're growing apart. And of course, that brings up people's attachments and all kinds of things. So we're looking at, you know, it's Aries season, so there is something around like feeling the power of being ourselves, right? And maybe releasing some of our patterns in relationship. And this doesn't have to look like throwing things out or like just being done or something like that. Sometimes eclipses or full moons, there is kind of like an ending quality, but it could also be an ending of a pattern. And if you have, you know, really dynamic long-term relationships, you know this part where it's like you kind of get into familiar fights or difficulties with a person, and sometimes you reach an agreement together of like, hey, we're not going to go around this one again. Like, we're done with this dynamic. We're not playing into it anymore, which is a really advanced and beautiful part of relationships. Likewise, if you've been in like a really traumatic, negative, like abusive, mutually abusive relationship, it's like there's patterns that each person in the relationship is bringing that are creating a negative storm together. And the benefit of having had those relationships in the past is that you know your gameplay of the kinds of negative patterns that you tend to fall into, which is good information because you can maybe recognize when you're falling into those traps again and decide to opt out of it or mature those particular patterns. So that's leading me a little bit into some of the things that I was noticing about this full moon, which is that Pluto in Aquarius is trine the moon and sextile the sun. So we have this harmonization of Pluto to the full moon axis. Pluto in Aquarius represents paradigm shift, right? Like new technology. And that doesn't just mean like literal science or like technology, but even spiritual technologies, personal development technologies, relational technologies, right? Thinking in an innovative way, moving innovatively. So there's something around how we are asserting ourselves and how we are relating that is going through paradigm shift. This might be happening in a really obvious way in relationships, but it can also happen internally in kind of like a parts work way. So if you're familiar with parts psychology, it's like having these different sub-personalities that have their own negotiations inside of our own consciousness and psyche. And sometimes those need to be renegotiated, especially in the context of, say, like really strong crystallized personality parts with really defined strategies that were developed in the past because of a past stressor or conflict and are no longer relevant to our situation. So it's this kind of belligerent part of ourselves that shows up to try to, you know, be front in line to deal with challenging situations, but it's totally off in its approach. And you may know what that part of you is. And often there's like a need to kind of go through some internal counsel, thank that part for its work that it's doing to protect or support you, but reassign it because its job is no longer needed. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. We might come back to it. The other thing that I was noticing about the lunation that feels really important is that the rulers of the nodes, so South Node in Libra is ruled by Venus, North Node in Aries is ruled by Mars, they're both in Pisces, and then Saturn in Pisces is in between them. So to me, the energy of that is that we are going through a full moon in Libra moment. We are renegotiating something, right? We need to understand the give and take, how I behave, how you behave, how we respond to each other, right? How, like, Libra is very aware of relational cause and effect. And what's interesting about Venus and Mars both being in Pisces is that those signs, you know, Pisces as in that sign, I'm going to stop sharing this now. Pisces loves to merge and form like really deep union. So how do you know whose part is whose, whose behavior is whose, if you're like that blended or merged? And that's what Pisces wants, is like to be in the ocean of oneness, to like really bond and dissolve boundaries. So how that might look as a emergent storyline or theme right now is that when it comes to co-creating, collaborating, like Libra, right? The thing that's really getting highlighted emotionally right now, we're having a kind of consciousness checkpoint about how is our Libra doing? Like, how are we relating to collaboration and teamwork? How do we relate to relationship? Do we feel like we're thriving in relationship? Are we having disaster and chaos in relationship? Like, what's going on, right? And that being maybe a cause for emotional celebration of how nice it feels to have these like connections, you know, or we're trying to figure out how to work with this part of our lives if it's really challenging. And Pisces, the orientation with Pisces is to go with the flow, to go with inspiration, to be really in a realm of fantasy and enchantment. And so that orientation is gonna let some things slide. Like, this is just kind of the flow, like this is where we're going. And if there is a irresponsibility inside of that in terms of like little micro choices, right? Libra is all about decisions. So let's say there's these moments of decision where our consciousness has historically been like, whatever, you know, just kind of going with the flow. Then at some point, those things become more of a wave, like more of a tsunami, right? And we get the kind of messiness or the chaos energy. So what that can point to, you know, and it's interesting also that Saturn is in Pisces connected to this, because I'm thinking about, say, like a person's default, somewhat unconscious personality pattern where, say, you know, everyone has theirs. You might think about what yours is, but someone who tries to be amenable at all costs, like, let's just make everything nice, right? And so instead of advocating for themselves, they tend to go along with the other. And that is kind of okay. There's moments where there's these choice points of like, I could feel out what I want, but I keep just being amenable until something becomes too much. Like, it's not resonant anymore. It's so off because there's been this whole slew of decisions not being made, right? But it could be that you're really distrustful, right? And like have a hard time opening up to people. And that's a personality pattern that you're running. Or you could be, I mean, being amenable is also conflict avoidant, right? You could be trying to be really talented and dazzling and like perfect all of the time. you could be trying to look a certain way, present, like, you know, pretend that you're like really into what's unfolding. You're trying to like build the magic of it. It's kind of a Pisces thing to do. But internally, there's things that are that you're not adjusting or making decisions or choices about. So if you are playing that out in any way, and maybe you've already gotten ahead of this curve, like maybe you're already actively, diligently working on yourself, noticing your patterns, adjusting things, and being more intentional in relationship. And what I'll say is that at whatever level of evolution this is playing out for you, there is something within the spiritual awakening process, which is a Pisces theme. And again, I'm highlighting all this Pisces stuff because Mars and Venus and Saturn are in Pisces right now with this lunation. We will wake up inside of our own story. We will be living a certain way and have more insight come up and then realize that we've been making decisions leading up till then that are based off of a different type of consciousness or a part of us that was less wise and less aware. And that when a problem arises or when a wave comes up that really reveals and mirrors back to us our own patterns and choices from the past, that might be when we wake up. It's for this reason that when I have conflicts with people in my life, friends, romantic, conflicts with anyone really, when those come up, to me, they can be like spiritual checkpoints. I have Mars and Venus and Pisces natally also. But it's like, how did this storm happen? Like, did I see it coming and ignore the signs or kind of overlook things? Or did it actually blindside me? And it's actually in the conflict of desires between me and the other person, in the reveal that maybe both of us or one of us had expectations that were off, that this learning happens, right? And that there's an opportunity to adjust and like have a reflection of a part of us that was unconscious come through the mirror of the relationship. So that process can disillusion us of parts of ourselves. Like we can really awaken through it. And I think it's worth, you know, there's a concept within process psychology of primary attention and secondary attention. And primary attention is kind of like the hard, dry facts, like what's happening. And secondary attention is more of the shamanic perspective, reading between the lines. And I think that when these relational conflicts come up, there's something that we are being initiated into or something that we're being invited to discover. Right. And also, if you have a really good teamwork dynamic, you might be able to navigate conflicts inside of these teamwork alliances in a way where you're confident you can work through things together and you grow and both benefit from it. And that can be kind of that Aries-Libra integration where we're actually vitalized by being with that kind of Martian edge of like, there's a conflict here, there's some kind of strife, but actually finding true peace and true harmony. So that's where I also wanted to point out a possibility of something that might be being released at this time is enablement. Whether it's enabling a part of yourself that you are learning better to not enable, or it's a relational dynamic. And so enablement would be like, when you are in one of those like more toxic trauma bond situations, both people are actually enabling kind of like the worst parts of each other. Like that's what the relationship is based off of. And so just kind of thinking about that as an example, right? And if you're aware of what your patterns are that kind of are like lower tendencies of yours or something that is just like not in integrity for you, you are in some sense responsible for managing yourself, but also like you might be in relationships where the other person actually doesn't give that part of you very much attention, time of day, doesn't enable it, as opposed to people that pander directly to it. right? And likewise, you might notice if there's lower parts of people, entitled, grabby, demanding, shadowy parts of people, are you enabling it, right? And part of Libra, I really, you know, I was thinking about customer service for this one because I had my own like whole realization around customer service stuff in my life where when I started to, I mean, I worked at like a sandwich place when I was a teenager. So I did encounter like sometimes customers come in and they're just mean and they feel entitled to be. And if the role that you're supposed to play at your work that's enforced is that you have to like, the customer's always right and you have to always smile no matter how they're treating you. I mean, that's like a form of enablement. I think some other workplaces also will allow employees to be more spicy or kind of reflect customers' behavior. But just kind of think of that as like kind of an energetic example where if the person is like cast in the role that they have to be amenable and like the customer's always right, a person who's abusing the customer service person is not going to get really accurately reflected. What I began to notice later on is that as I began to offer services, I saw the part of me that would kind of like give the wrong jobs to the wrong people, like try to go to someone's place of work and be like, can you do this? Like, can you be the exception, or can I be the exception? Here's what I need. And getting a kind of disgruntled, like kind of energy from the other person. And as I became conscious of that, I started to be more mindful about who I was working with or like what I was presenting to people and actually trying to find people for things I was looking for that it was like actually really a match, something that they might be excited about, as opposed to me trying to create some kind of mismatch with my own will. And it's like, you just do this kind of thing. But what I noticed is that I went from receiving the reflection from people that I was trying to employ for like little jobs to like them being kind of disgruntled or irritated with me to creating much more like collaborative, enthusiastic, pleasant like work experiences with people once I kind of realized what I was doing, how I was participating, and then adjusted it. I have all sorts of little parts of me, just as everyone does, that I get reflected in relationship. And you can start to see where you have your own responsibility to up-level these parts of yourself, but you may also engage people that have high standards, right? That have a certain standard of relating, and they may not enable certain parts of you. Versus, where is enablement happening? Right? And Libra, why are we keeping the peace with that? Where it's like if someone is really trying to intimidate and harass and you're like kind of fawning to them, or someone feels really entitled to your energy and you're like jumping over yourself and bending over backwards to please them instead of just being like, no, you know, like these different ways that we can see what kind of relational patterns are happening and realizing, am I keeping the peace with a part of myself, a part of another person that's actually not who I want to be collaborating with? Like, do I want to end this particular dynamic inside of all my relations, right? Because some of these patterns will follow you everywhere you go, whoever you're around, because it's something that you're working with inside. Or in like these specific relational situations, do we want to renegotiate and stop playing into certain themes? So that is kind of how I wanted to qualify what renegotiation means for the full moon in Libra, where it might not be as full on or as dramatic as this relationship's ending or like I'm done with this person. Sometimes that's the case, but a lot of times it's actually a subtler pattern, not just inside of one relationship, but inside of how we are relating to life, how we're relating to people, how we're relating to ourselves in general. And if you can see those patterns, and that's something that, by the way, like I do coaching work with people. I teach my evolutionary astrology intensive. I offer a lot of tools to my clients and students around seeing your patterns and seeing how you play out your natal chart, so that you can have, you can be in that process of really defining and like discovering for yourself what your patterns are. I think a lot of you that listen to my channel already operate at this kind of register, but there's always more and more layers as we go, and there's more we can learn in that way. So the better you know your own gameplay, the kinds of things that you do, your tendencies in relationship, perhaps, you know, these things are easier to see. So that's pretty much what I wanted to share with you about the full moon, is just noticing that something is being renegotiated. A lot of it might be relatively unconscious, the way that it's built up, given that the nodes are ruled by planets in Pisces. So there's maybe been a kind of like fogginess or a dreamlike quality where there's a ideal or a fantasy, or it's like, I think things are going to go this way, or I hope they go this way. And realizing that we have to make choices with Libra. We have to be honest about our needs, Aries, and advocate for those needs as they come up. And that where we've been sloppier about doing that because we didn't know what we needed, we didn't know what we wanted, we didn't know ourselves well enough, then we get ourselves into these little messes, which can be renegotiated and can be cleaned up, especially if the others that we're interacting with are willing to go on the ride of evolving the relationship. Sometimes people are more rigid in the role play, and if you stop playing the role that they have cast you into, or that you have also cast yourself into, people get mad, people get volatile, people get mean, and it's fascinating, actually. It's fascinating. It's just like, you're not who you, like, you're not who I want you to be, and people spin out, and that's okay. But you don't have to enable that by behaving a certain way so that you just keep the peace. It's important at times to have true conflict, true difficult conversations, to reveal things honestly, and to develop our skills to be able to receive other people's honesty, to be dynamic enough and fluid enough to navigate other people's evolution and our own evolution, as opposed to becoming stagnant inside of a role play, enabling, co-enabling, codependent, all of that. And that's what I think Libra, or I mean Aries, is really coming in to shake things up and awaken this kind of fire. And Libra is having to make choice points and renegotiate. So you may notice around this full moon a heightened awareness around this, and a heightened maybe impetus to make choices that reflect where you're actually evolving. Instead of just kind of going along with the flow of something because that's easier, less pressure on your nervous system. It's like, what's the true thing that's actually calling you? And can you be responsible in your choice making? Is that really hard in certain situations? Is that your cutting edge? Is that your evolution right now? So I'm going to leave that here. Invite you to sign up for my mailing list linked in the notes. Remind you that the Evolutionary Astrology Intensive is beginning again April 2nd, and applications are open until March 29th. And this is a comprehensive, deep, rich program to learn the language of evolutionary astrology in a community, with guidance, with dialogue. It's a language of astrology that has been deeply instrumental in my life. I've been growing alongside it ever since I was 21, essentially. And it's given me my life in so many ways. It's been a wisdom school that has helped me refine my awareness, understand myself and others more. And I began to teach it because I offer these forecasts, I give readings and whatnot, but I wanted to create an experience for other people to get initiated into speaking the language for themselves, to get to a place with astrology where you can feel a person's chart. You can feel an aspect, you can feel a planetary placement, and form your own intuitive, your own insights around it, as opposed to relying on someone else or a book or something like that. And that's actually totally possible. Astrologers make it look really magical because we actually just are really practiced in it, and we've just been in the practice showing up for it. But I created an experience where it's a methodical, like structured, going into all the archetypes, all the planets, learning how to put it together, and by the end, really being in this more multifaceted, complex thinking and analysis and ability to put things together in the chart. This is an all levels program, so it's great for beginners that are just getting their bearings, people that maybe know a lot but don't feel fully rooted in their own practice, as well as advanced practitioners that want to go into the evolutionary astrology lineage specifically. So evolutionary astrology is about the evolution of the soul. It's reading the natal chart from the perspective of being here before and that will be here again, and that this life is actually a perfect alchemical space for whatever it is that we've been working on. And without even needing to get super hung up on what happened in past lives or who you were or any of that, it's being able to locate the pulse of what in this life brings you to that space where you're at the edge, where it's loaded for you, like things are on the line for you, because this is the thing that you want the most, that you have been wanting in prior lives, that you're still working on, that you have a lot of talent and ability around, but also something that you're still developing or still trying to figure out. What have been your strategies around that? What have those strategies caused you at a karmic level? What strategies would help you in this life continue this story in a meaningful direction? All of those kinds of things are this depth, psychological, soulful portrait that evolutionary astrology offers. And on that note, if you're catching this in time, I am teaching a class, a free class, this weekend at 2 p.m. Pacific on Saturday, called The Soul's Edge. And I'll be offering a teaching and a visualization experience about this theme of the edge of the soul, which is a little bit of what I just spoke to of what's at the cutting edge of your evolution. So we'll be exploring that. You can sign up through the link in the notes. And I also forgot to mention to please like this video, leave a comment, say hi, subscribe to this channel, all those things. Thank you so much for tuning in with me about the full moon. Let me know how you're experiencing it, what in this video resonated with your experience, what you've been learning. I always love to hear from you. Thanks so much for tuning in.